Thank you so much for inviting us into your service this evening, and I'm excited that you are here and whatever interest you may have in sharing the most wonderful gift any of us could ever have, absolutely free. Our only obligation is not to keep it to ourselves, but to share it with a lost and dying world. As the pastor said, I developed this curriculum myself after you see the quote on the screen. Some of this, part of this came from Greg Laurie's book, Tell Someone. You may be familiar with that book. More of it came from a book called Share Jesus Without Fear by Mr. William Fay. And just a little bit about Mr. Fay. Bill Fay was a president and CEO of a multi-million dollar corporation, and he had ties to organized crime. And he tells in his book that over the years, there were various people who had attempted to witness to him and share faith in Christ with him. And depending on what kind of day he was having, he might would mock them, he might would curse them, and he might do worse. That is, until there came a time when Mr. Fay's enterprise came on the radar of federal investigators, and they began to target his businesses, and this was a high-profile media event, I'll say, out in Colorado, Denver, I believe, is where his operation was. And his world started crumbling around him. Started coming down, and people knew who he was, and they knew that he was being investigated. But he said there was one person, a man who was a member of the country club where Mr. Fay was a member, who asked him how he was doing personally and invited Mr. Fay to come to his home for dinner. This was a doctor who was a member of this country club. He invited Mr. Fay to come to his home for dinner, and while at dinner, the doctor's wife shared her testimony with Bill Fay and ended up that transpired in him making a profession of faith and praying to receive Christ. And I think of, when I read his book, a lot of about the Apostle Paul. You know, he was very strong in one direction, persecuting Christians, but once he became a Christian, he became an evangelist. And it's his book, Share Jesus Without Fear, that a lot of this material came from. I was very excited. I was telling the pastor after I read the book, when I first became a Gideon, I couldn't wait till the next day. I was wanting to get out and put into practice some of these principles. But Mr. Faith says that any one of those folks who had tried to witness with him over the years, if they had the idea that they had failed, they would be believing a lie. Because he remembered every one of them. He remembered their faces. He remembered where they were, the circumstances surrounding the conversations, and as we know from studies, the surveys have been done now, that a non-believer, on average, will hear the gospel message about 7.6 times on average prior to coming to faith. And so it could be that if we are sharing our faith with someone, and like Mr. Fay, they rejecting that message, it's not that they're rejecting. Maybe it's only the second time they've heard the message, the third or the 6.6th time. But that it behooves us to continue to keep the message going and to have these conversations, and in God's time, that veil will be lifted in their eyes and ears and hearts will be open to the message. Also, we know through research that between 75 and 90% of believers come to Christ through one-on-one conversations, either with an acquaintance, a friend, family member, someone on the street, is how a majority of people come to faith. Only, surprisingly to me, when I read this, only about 17% of all conversions are the result of an event such as a crusade, revival, a church service, or what have you. So it is crucial. I think from a business advertising standpoint, if you know that your market audience is going to, the bulk of them are going to hear the message through one-on-one conversations, and that's where we should put our resources. It's good to invite people to church. It's good to expose them to revivals and crusades, but we should never let lose sight of the importance of these gospel conversations. And you may be saying to yourself, well, I'm just no good at that, or I don't know how to do that. I wouldn't know how to start that conversation. Or maybe I've tried it and I just haven't had any success. And there are lots of reasons that people understandably are nervous or intimidated about having those kinds of conversations. I have a friend of mine, we'll see where this goes. I've only done this a few times. An old friend of mine said, you know, I don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism, so I leave that to the people who do. And that got me to thinking, and I asked him, I said, well, if I don't have the spiritual gift of giving, does that mean I'm not called to tithe? Or if I don't have the spiritual gift of mercy, do I not depend on the Holy Spirit to release His power of mercy through me? Likewise, when we share our faith, we depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. We may say, well, what if I mess something up? Or what if they reject me and I look foolish and end up being embarrassed, or they don't get saved because I do something wrong? Let me say from the outset that we do not win souls. And I'm going to say it again. I want you to remember, we do not win souls. If I share my faith with someone and they make a decision to receive Christ, did I save that person? No. If I did, they're not very saved. I can tell you that. But likewise, the other side of that coin is, if I share my faith with someone and they reject the message, have I failed? No. My success and your success, our success, lies only in obedience and doing what God said. If we are walking in our faith and we are sharing our faith, then what the person does who is receiving the message is between them and the Holy Spirit. If we are obedient and we're having those conversations, then we are being successful. We are doing what we're called to do in the Great Commission. We're all familiar with it in Matthew 28 and Mark 15, that we're to go to all the world and share our faith and make disciples of all nations. But Jesus said in the first chapter of Acts that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you will be His witness. And so we are all, none of us are exempt. We're called to do that. So, to do that though, we have to have a heart for people, a heart for the lost, and a heart to share God's love with those people. And we should, the first thing we should be doing if we're going to be obedient, is we should pray for those opportunities, for God to put those opportunities in our path. And I can tell you that we should every morning before we leave our homes pray for those opportunities. I can tell you from experience, and these fellows can take it, if you pray that prayer, God's going to answer it. So the other half of my prayer, I have learned the hard way, is help me to recognize those opportunities when they happen. There are few worse feelings than looking back and saying, I bet that person maybe they weren't lost. I mean, maybe they weren't saved. Maybe they were lost. Or you find yourself lying in bed at night staring at the ceiling because you maybe missed an opportunity that will haunt you. So it's very important that we say, Lord, help me to know when those times are, and I believe He answers that prayer as well. So let's say we're prayed up, we get out in the world, and we're interacting with folks like we do every day, and we may be having conversations about the things that we do, whether weather, sports, politics, the economy, what have you. But we, and we get the feeling, or we sense that we're not sure that about this person's salvation. Maybe this is somebody you know and you've questioned it for some time, or maybe there's something that they're saying that makes you, leads you to believe that they may not be a person of faith. And you want to have that conversation. You want to be obedient. You want to, you feel like you have a cure for a terminal disease and you want to be able to share that with them. But they're talking about the upcoming Major League Baseball playoffs, and you're thinking, how in the world can I start talking about Jesus? That's quite a leap to go from your present conversation, what you may be having, to having one of a gospel nature. Another thing I have learned is that if I'm in a conversation with someone and I think this person may need to hear a gospel message, I'm praying in my mind. I start praying right away, Lord, if this is someone who's lost, someone that you have put into my path to have this conversation with, please open the door. Please create an opportunity. And I shouldn't be amazed, I still am sometimes, at how conversations make a turn. I'm surprised at how many people who maybe have never been to church will use terms like, God knows, or I pray that it doesn't rain, start raining before I can get home and get my grass mowed. And it's just amazing to me how often that shows, turns up in speech. I was giving a fellow a ride one time, and I was praying that very thing. And he said, I appreciate the way you're driving. He said the person I was riding with yesterday, he said I was praying to God that I didn't get killed in a car wreck. Thank you, Lord. That's not such a leap, is it? If someone says, would you hear about that wreck out on the interstate the other day? And several people, you know, maybe someone got killed, somebody's on life support. And you go, they just thought they were going to work or going to the grocery store. And all of a sudden, you know, they're in this terrible wreck. You just don't ever know when you leave home. Those conversations happen all the time. Even sports conversations. You hear about the young phenom signed a multi-million-dollar contract right out of high school. Man, that's life-changing. His life will never be the same. Those are baby steps, life-changing events, death. And most, I can't imagine there's anybody who's ever lived who hasn't thought about end of life and what happens after life. And normally, almost when people have ideas and decisions about those sort of things, they're happy to share them and tell you what their thoughts are. If you seem interested in what somebody has to say, people are inclined to tell you if you give them the opportunity. And that's what we want to do. And these questions, I've tweaked them a little bit, but they came generally from Mr. Facebook. Excuse me. Something I've asked people, if they're talking about death or something extreme, I said, what about you? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? What do you think? And even more so than saying, do you believe in God? Because if you're talking with somebody who doesn't come from a church culture and does not have the background that some of us may have, it could seem off-putting because they think, okay, I know where this is going, or I know what's coming next. And if you say, do you know that God loves you, or can I tell you about my Jesus, which are wonderful statements and can be effective for some people in casual conversations, well, I think we may fail to see sometimes an invisible hand go up and they go, oh, look at the time. You know, I've told my neighbor I'd take him to the hardware store or whatever. And so I think that, but most people are not put off by the question, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And basically what we want is to get them talking. You know, we're not doing the talking yet. We're getting them to do the talking. A lady one time said, you know, I don't, I don't really consider myself a religious person. She said, but I am a spiritual person. And I guess if I had to identify with one religion over another, I would say that I'm probably more Buddhist than anything. She said, I believe that all life is sacred and I don't eat meat. Okay, well, that's her opinion. That's what she said. But I'm not there to argue with her. I want her to take what she believes and to pull it out in front of her and look at it and talk about it. Because I'm trying to use these questions that we're getting. And there's a card. Did anybody not get a testament, a pocket testament? In that pocket testament is a card. And if you pull that out, on one side it says five questions. And this is the same as, I think it's the same as on the screen. But what we're going to do, these questions are like a funnel. And we want to direct the conversation that we're having about the things of the world into one of a gospel nature. And it's not even necessary to ask every question. You may skip one, or you may start in the middle. But with this lady, because she brought up religion, and that is Buddhism, I could ask her, well, to you, who was Jesus? Who do you think Jesus was? Anybody else not get one? Everybody go. Great. To you, who is Jesus? And you get all kinds of answers. I've got, he was a wise teacher, or he was a rabbi, he was a prophet. I'm not overly concerned with what they say. This is their opinion, and I'm not there to argue or debate with them. I just want them talking and let them do the talking. Another question, do you believe in heaven or hell? I doubt there's anybody who has never wondered or thought whether they're a person of faith or not. Is there a heaven or is there a hell? And most people who have thought about it are happy to give you their opinion. Some people will say, no, I don't think there's either one. Or maybe there's probably a heaven, but I doubt there's a hell. Again, I'm not looking to share anything yet. I just want them to talk. I want them talking. And people will. Once they learn you're interested, that you want to hear them out. So where do you think you'd go if you died? They've thought about this, if they'll tell you. And if they say heaven, yeah, great. Why do you think that? You're spurring a conversation in the direction you want it to go. And whatever you ask, whichever of these questions you ask, the objective is to get to number five. The first four questions, and you're just, when someone answers, if I ask a question, do you have your spiritual beliefs, whatever they say, here's what I'm doing. I'm just acknowledging and moving on. For some conversations, all are different. Maybe to you, who is Jesus, is not the next. Maybe the next question is, what do you think happens when you die? But the idea, as I said, is to get the conversation going. Because when we get to number five, we've let them do the talking. And this conversation may have gone 2 minutes, it may have gone 22 minutes. But when you get to number five, what we're going to ask them is, if what you believe weren't true, would you want to know? That's a great question, and whether you're talking about this or anything else, if what you believe were not true, would you want to know? And I can tell you that most of the time, what you're going to get, the response you're going to get, this is from my experience, is something like, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess so. That's about what it's going to sound like. If they say yes, well, of course, or I guess so, they've just given you permission to share the gospel. They have opened the door wide open. They've been doing the talking, and now it's your turn. Well, let's say they say no. Let's say they say, nah, I'm good. I'm good with what I got. I'm moving on. Have you failed? No. If you're living your faith, walking your faith, sharing your faith, and they reject a message that is not on you, that's between them and the Holy Spirit. But let's say you get to, I guess so. They've opened the door, and it's your turn to talk. They get to listen to you now. And that's where the heavy lifting starts. But we're not going to do the heavy lifting. There are two spiritual principles at work in what I'm going to share with you. In the first one, Romans 10:17, so then by faith, or faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the word of who? By the word of Mike Harrison? By the word of you? No, by the word of God. That's where faith comes from, by hearing the word of God. And also Hebrews 4:12. And I love this verse, and I know you're familiar with it, but I'm going to read it anyway. I'm going to turn around because my eyes aren't hardly good enough to read that. such a powerful verse. I know you're familiar with it. But for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man, if you got a weapon like that, why would you use anything else? So, that's what we're going to use to do the heavy lifting. And if you'll turn your card over, because you just asked someone, if what you believe weren't true, would you want to know? And they've said yes. So all you're going to do is, number one says, you're going to say, would you read this aloud? What do you think they're going to read? This Gideon Pocket New Testament is a tool for your belt. And we're giving them to you, but they're not yours. We hope you'll give them away, give them to somebody. But I'll tell you just a little bit about them. In the front, you may be familiar with this. In the front of these pocket testaments, there's a help section. And there are page numbers that tell you pages you can turn to in times of specific need. And that is an amazing resource for anybody. But also in the back is God's plan of salvation and also a prayer to receive Christ. So that's where we're going to focus right now. If you will open your test, the one that you have, open just the back cover. No pages, just the back cover. And you look on the left-hand side and you'll see there are some bold headers. The first one says, God loves you. Everybody with me? God loves you. And under God loves you, there are two Bible verses. And so we just asked someone, if what you believed weren't true, would you want to know? And they've said, yeah, okay. And we say, read this aloud. Why do we say aloud? Because faith comes by what? Hearing. And we want them to hear their voices reading God's word. Under God loves you are two Bible verses, and all you're going to do is pick one. Choose one. I would say prayerfully choose one. And let's say that you choose the first one, which is John 3:16, and you're just going to say, number one on your card, would you do me a favor and just read this aloud? And they're going to say, once I've gotten this far, I'll tell you, I've never had anybody say no. And we go back one. If somebody says no, that they don't want to know what Mr. Fay says in his book, that the hundreds of times that he's done this, maybe 1,000 times he's done it. One time he had someone say, no, I wouldn't want to know the truth. If what I believed weren't so, I wouldn't want to know the truth. And a guy said, nah, I'm good. He said, I just stood there and looked at him for a long pause. And I said, okay. And turned to walk away, and the guy said, well, you're not going to tell me? He said, tell you what, you said you didn't want to know. And he said, so I never had a no that stuck. And that likely will be our case as well. So, and I've never had anybody, once we get to this part, I say, just do me a favor and read this allowed. Now, I have had people say, I don't have my reading glasses, or I can't see print that small, in which case I will read it to them. But I've never had anybody say, no, I don't want to do it. So they say, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number two on your card says, ask, what does this mean to you? What does that mean to you? And let them tell you what it means to them. We're not going to argue. We're not going to debate theology. We're just going to ask them. As long as they understood, as long as they read it correctly and didn't get it wrong, then they're going to tell you what it means to you, or to them, rather. Now, if they miss a word and you say, well, no, that word is perish. It's not parsnips, and it means to die. So, you know, and or if they really get it, you know, stumble through it, maybe ask them to read it again. But they read it, and then you say, what does that mean to you? What am I doing? And I'm praying, Lord, speak to this person through your word. Open their eyes, their ears, and their heart. If this is someone you've identified, let them come to know you through your word. You go, would you read another one? Go down to the next bold header. All are sinners. Two more verses. Prayerfully choose one. Doesn't matter to me which one. Let's say you go with the second one. Could you read this one aloud? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. What does that mean to you? What do you think that means? You know that Jesus modeled this for us in the New Testament when he said he was approached by, the Bible describes him as an expert in the law who was trying to trip Jesus up. And he said, Rabbi, what must I do to have eternal life? Remember what Jesus said? He said, what do the scriptures say? And how do you read that? Or what does it mean to you? What do you think that means? And he said, well, it says to love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my might and love my neighbor as myself. Jesus avoided a debate. He avoided an argument. And he let the scripture do the talking. And that's what we're going to do. We get out of God's way and let the scripture do the talking. We're not arguing. We're not debating. Let them read. Could you read another one for me? I'm asking the person under God's remedy for your sin. There are three verses there. Choose one. Do the same thing. Could you read that? Could you read this aloud for me? Could you read this for me aloud? Let them read it aloud. And then there's another one. And I'll tell you again, as many times as I've done this, I've never had anybody stop. You think at some point they go, no, man, I read three of them. I'm done. I don't want to read anymore. If they do, have we failed? No, but I've never had anybody stop once they started. And after they've read the verses, ask them if they would like forgiveness for their sins and would like to ask Jesus into their heart. What I usually do is say, is there some reason you would not want forgiveness for your sins? Is there some reason you would not want to make Jesus Lord of your life after the price he paid for your sin? And if they say yes, first thing that happens is the Bible says that there are angels in heaven who are rejoicing. But you're thinking, oh, they do want to pray to receive Jesus, and they want eternal life in heaven. Ooh, how do I pray that prayer? Can I do it? Because I'm nervous. I promise you, if you've never been here before, you will be nervous. But don't be. Look on the right-hand side, a personal prayer. You can just ask them to pray after you. God, from my heart, I admit to you that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness, and read that prayer with them. And after they've prayed the prayer, there's a line there for them to sign their name and a date. and ask them to write, sign their, make them, have them sign their name and put the date on there, because it won't be long before Satan's going to be in their ear and telling them that they're not really saved, and this will affirm for them, yes, I am. And get them plugged in, invite them to church, to a Bible study, disciple them, because they're like newborn babes and they need nurturing and they need discipling. And I want to say that this almost sounds too connect the dots simple, but I can tell you as these men can, it works. It is so effective. And just July 1st, we have a jail ministry, and I was in the jail speaking with a fella. And I've been talking with him for over an hour, not because I'm long-winded, but because he was. And every time I would, and I wasn't doing this. There were two Gideon New Testaments on the table, one in English and one in Spanish. And I was sharing the gospel message. I was summarizing the gospel message. I was wanting to be saved, you know, through hearing the word of Mike Harrison. And I wasn't getting anywhere. And I could tell he was starting to look, you know. He was ready to go. And I said, okay, I'm not going to hold you. I said, I'm not an arm twister. I'm not a brow beater. I said, but I looked over and I saw those testaments. And I said, will you do me a favor? He said, yeah, sure, whatever. He's just wanted out of the room. Could you read that verse for me aloud? And he read it. And I said, what does that mean to you? I pointed at John 3:16. He said, I don't have to read that. He said, I know it. And he recited it. And I said, what does that mean to you? And he told me. I don't remember what he said, but he told me. And I went down to the next one, which I think was Romans 3:23. And I said, what does that mean to you? And he said, man, he said, I know what it means. He said, but I'm not good at putting it into words. I said, okay. And I told him, I said, I just want you to hear your voice speaking the word of God. And when I said that, he started reading. Not one verse, all the verses. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And he started reading down every verse on the page. And by the time he got to the bottom, his voice was breaking up. He was choking. And then there's on the right-hand side, receiving Christ. But as many as receive him, gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his. He was crying and sobbing. And I said, Sammy, is there some reason that you would not want your sins forgiven? And to pray to ask Jesus, he said, I want to, I just don't know how. So we went through God's plan of salvation point by point, and he prayed to receive Christ. And I was thinking, if I had started with this, I wouldn't have been sitting there for an hour trying to explain this to him. The power of the word, more powerful than any two-edged sword, speaks. If we have a love for the lost and a love for God, and we're praying for them to come to a saving knowledge of Christ through reading their word, this is the most effective thing that I know. And it simplifies, it takes the pressure off of us. Success is not dependent on us. It's dependent on the Holy Spirit. If we make ourselves available, if we direct those conversations and ask people if they want, if what they believe weren't true. Keep this card. I'm retired law enforcement. I used to carry it. Every cop you've ever seen has a Miranda rights card right here in their pocket. It's not that we don't know it. We do know it, but when we're asked in court, we have to be able to recite it. So when I had these cards designed, I called them Miranda rights cards. So This New Testament is not going to do any good if it's at home on your desk. You know, ladies, in your pocketbook, in your purse, men, in your pocket, somewhere so that when you have that opportunity, it's not that you have to have it, but it sure takes, it takes the heavy lifting off of us if we have this. Now, I'm going to, there was a lot of asides there, so I want you to see how quickly and easily and simple this really is. Phil, will you be my center? Phil Bentley he's also a member of the Tales with Gideon Camp and a strongly faithful man of God. He's just one of my heroes. But just for a minute, I'm going to ask him if he can go back in his mind to a time and maybe pretend just for a minute that you are lost. And then we'll let you come back. We won't keep you there.
Okay.
All right. Very little, almost none. Huh? Very little, almost none. Oh, because he can make this hard for me if he wants to. I say, hey, Phil, how you been, man?
Good.
Hey, it's good to see you. In fact, I've had you on my mind. I've been meaning to ask you. I was wondering, do you have any spiritual beliefs?
Yeah, I have spiritual beliefs.
Tell me about them. What are your spiritual beliefs?
I believe there's a higher power.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I believe there's a higher power, and I don't know if he knows some of the things I go through because I have a lot of problems. I don't know if he loves me enough to care about me, and I'm really having a hard time, but I believe there's a higher power.
I am dying to get into that with him. Anybody who does ministry probably is. You know, this is like low-hanging fruit, isn't it? He wants to believe there's a higher power, and he needs a higher power. But I'm going to avoid the temptation to chase that rabbit. Okay. And we'll say, well, who do you believe Jesus is?
Well, I've heard that he's the Son of God is what I've heard. I don't understand that, but I believe I've heard it.
He's making it hard in the other way. Because
I love this guy.
Oh, man. We really could skip probably the rest of the questions. I'm going to go ahead and go through them because I want you to see them in action. Do you believe there's heaven or hell?
Yeah, I think so. I think it depends on how good we are.
Yeah.
Which way we go.
Which way you think you'd go?
I'm a pretty good person.
Yeah? So what do you think would happen to you when you die?
Oh, I'm going to heaven.
Going to heaven? How do you know? Will they let you in?
Well, I think I'm a pretty good person.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you. If what you believe weren't true, would you want to know?
I'm open-minded, yeah.
Yeah? Okay, great. Could you do me a favor?
Sure.
Could you see this Bible verse right here? Could you read that aloud for me?
Yeah. It says, God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's what I had heard. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
What does that mean to you?
Well, it's kind of hard to understand, but I believe there's a higher power. I believe it's God. And he gave his Son that if I believe, according to this, if I believe in him, that I would not perish, but I would have everlasting life, which goes back to the heaven and hell question that you asked me.
Mm-hmm. What about, let's look at this verse right here. Could you read that for me?
Sure.
Aloud.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
What do you think that means?
Well, according to this,
Everybody has sinned, and we've come short of where we need to be.
Yeah. Could you read that one for me?
God's remedy for your sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Romans 6:23.
What do you feel like that means?
Well, being a businessman, the wages is what we earn and for what we do. So we have the wages is what we're going to get paid, which is death.
Could you read that one for me? Aloud.
Your response, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. So, Mike, if I confess with my mouth verbally that the Lord Jesus, if I believe that in my heart, according to this, I'll be saved. Is that right?
Yes. That's the Word of God.
Is it that simple?
It's that simple.
How can He love me?
God's word tells us that he loves us, that he knows that we're sinners. While we were still sinners, he loved us. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
I do.
Do you believe that he died on a cross to pay for your sins?
I do.
And that he was raised on the third day?
I do. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, this says that if you confess that you're a sinner, and you ask and you make him Lord of your life, ask him into your heart, that he is true and just to save you from what you deserve. Would you like to pray with me to receive Jesus?
I don't know what to say.
There's a decision to be made. If I asked if you were going to go to heaven or to hell. And the Bible tells us that we only go to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. Mm. And I understood you to say that you believe that he's the Son of God.
I do. Okay. Mike, I think I'd like to be saved.
Awesome. Amen. Just pray with me, Phil.
Okay.
God, from my heart.
God, from my heart.
I admit to you that I'm a sinner.
I admit to you that I'm a sinner.
And I ask for your forgiveness.
I ask for your forgiveness.
I believe that your Son Jesus.
I believe your Son Jesus.
Took the punishment I deserve.
Took the punishment that I deserve.
By shedding his blood on the cross.
By shedding his blood on the cross.
He gave his life.
He gave his life
as full payment for my sins.
As full payment for my sins.
And rose again from the dead.
And rose again from the dead.
Thank you for changing my heart.
Thank you for changing my heart.
I now confess and turn from my sin.
I now confess and turn from my sin.
And receive your Son Jesus.
And receive your Son Jesus.
As my Savior and Lord.
As my Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
I'm so happy that you're saved again.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't sign, get in there. And I typically do is when I give someone the copy of the testament, because as I said, they're like a newborn baby and they need nourishment. And I typically turn to the book of John and tell them that, you know, any of the gospels, but the book of John, relatively short, they can probably read it in one evening, but that they would get to know Jesus better by reading the gospel of John and the whole book, but starting, you know, with the book of John. I breezed through this fairly quickly to get in. Before I ask if you have any questions or anything, what I would suggest, I would recommend that you, what we just did, this role playing, is that you with husband, wife, brother, sister, neighbor, someone, but practice that. If you've ever been part of a group, particularly a competition, you know that that the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to be doing it. And if you wait until game time and you haven't had and you haven't exposed yourself to it, then you may not be as comfortable or as effective in your speech. So I would highly recommend that you do just what we just did. One person could be the person of faith one time, and the other could be the make-believe center, and then switch off and give yourselves practice. But these the cards are yours to keep, and the testaments are yours to give away. Now, anybody have any questions or comments? Because, like I said, this is a brand new program that, and I've only presented it a couple of times, and I'm open to suggestions. If you think of, if you know of something that would make it clearer or smoother or that needs to be changed, I'm all ears. So, but I appreciate you letting me come and share this with you, and I pray more than anything, you know, that it is a tool for your belt. Yes. Yes. Good point. And everybody able to hear him? And I do that also. I've done it with John 3:16. For God so loved Mike Harrison. And it really brings it home. It adds a layer of texture. And I should not be amazed anymore, but I am when I see people read this, people who are dug in with their heels and adamant and start to, and it's happened time and again. There was a fellow in, we do jail ministry, and there was a fellow that I had led to the Lord, and I went back the next day because he said he didn't read well, and I was going to read with him. I went back to the jail to read with him. And I had him, and we turned. I had given him a testament, but we turned to John 1, and I said, he said, "You want me to read?" And I said, "Sure, if you'd like." And he starts, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And I thought, oh my heavens, we should have started down about verse 5 or 10. This will be so mysterious, and I'm going to have to, you know, explain all the Word. But he just kept reading, and when he got down to, I think it's verse 5, "And he was the light that shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome him," he started to cry. And he said, this is exactly what he did. He said, "That's true. He's the light that shone in my darkness." And again, I had to learn, it's not the words of Mike Harrison that bring somebody to faith. It's the Word of God. Let me mention to you, you've got, it's on the screen as well as on the back of your card, these testaments. Hopefully you're going to, it may be that whenever you got, we've talked about this, you may have somebody in your mind right now. Maybe somebody's been in your mind, on your heart, to share your faith, and you didn't know how to break the ice, how to have that conversation. And I hope that you'll make it your objective to to have this conversation with them. But once you give it to them, then you don't have another testament. Friendsofgideons.org. The website is there, and it's also on the card. Friendsofgideons.org. You can order as many of these as you like. $2 each, I think, is how much they are now. $2 each. And the pastor tells me he's got some in the pipeline on order, so you should have some for your street witnessing available to you. But I hope you run out of those too. And I hope you have to go to Friends of Gideon's, and the Gideons aren't making money off those. $2 is what it costs them to produce them, and that's what they'll sell them to you for. Anyone else, a question or a comment?